When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by a Team GB Olympian who's hoping to be in the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics. That's James Dasaulu in the bobsleigh and, of course, in his main discipline as one of the country's top sprinters. He was on good form, explained how he got into bobsleigh. Miles Jupp joined us, Andy, to talk about the cricket.
Yeah. Very enjoyable about his podcast with Mark Wood, and we talked about the day's play. Martin Kellner, of course, with his regular slot on a Friday.
Excellent.
That was fun.
And Mike Ward. Mike Ward gave us some non-sporting telly to watch this weekend as well. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And I suppose I should talk about Chelsea first. I've got some other things to say, but I'll get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way. Get it off your chest. Beaten midweek, and this is the first time you've had to vent. I mean, you could have phoned the sports bar. Have you ever thought about that? It would be great therapy for you. Great therapy. You know, Andy wouldn't wind you up. And if Jason's not there, of course, he wouldn't have a shoulder to cry on, would you?
No. I mean, apart from the Lampard family and Jason Cundy himself, there's no one who wants Lampard to succeed more than I do, really, honestly.
There's a buck coming, isn't there?
No, well, there is a buck coming because, you know, basically he's been faced hit with something all managers have to deal with. I mean, even Jurgen Klopp, the brilliant manager that he is having similar problems at the moment. Suddenly all your good players are out of form all at the same time. Mm. And that is a difficult thing to deal with. And unfortunately, he hasn't reacted well. It's got to be said. Some of the decisions, some of the selections. I don't think any Chelsea fans can understand why Tomori is good enough for the leaders of Serie A, but not good enough for a team that's shipping goals.
I was reading, though, earlier on, Andy, that he has plans for him. I mean, Frank Lampard has said he wants to see him go there and get some more game time and then come back and play at Chelsea again. This isn't goodbye, apparently.
No, but even if it isn't, I wouldn't even send him out on loan. Why was he good enough when they won 9-10 games in a row last year, which probably was the bedrock of their season that finished fourth, got into the England team, and then suddenly he doesn't even get a look in. He plays like 2 minutes in a cup tie, whereas Rudiger, who we all think is pretty iffy, let's be honest, and wanted to leave, is now the first choice, and nobody can really understand that. You know, so it is a bit confusing. I mean, we hope he turns it around. You know, I've got a feeling they're going to give him to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And he's still got the time, therefore, to turn it around. And if he doesn't, I wouldn't make a change now, really. I'd either write the season off or hope that he gets it right and then start again next year. And you get much more choice in the summer of managers than you would at this particular point, I think. So
now,
that's the way I do it.
Andy, did you see, by the way, that Dean Smith has reluctantly accepted the FA charge for having a pop at John Moss and his assistants after the game against City?
Yeah.
But I think he could have argued it out because the way the papers put it today, said he basically described them as clowns. But when you look at what he actually said, he didn't quite say that, did he? He said to them, did you get juggling balls for Christmas? Now, I wouldn't like to play charades with Dean Smith because if he was up there doing something, you have to guess who he's being. And like, and he's doing this, he's juggling, you're saying juggler. No. Street entertainer. No, you can be there for half an hour before you get the clown.
Coco.
Surely you want to... Well, you can't say that, can you? But the first thing you want to say to the liner, if you really want to have a pop with a fourth official, did you get red noses for Christmas? Yeah. Did you get some big shoes?
Did you all arrive in a very small car?
Did you all arrive in a very small car today? The doors fell off and all smoke came out of the black. When the bloke plans, the Saints go marching in on a clarinet in front of you. That's where you start with clowns. Because if Dean Smith came up to me and said, did you get juggling balls for Christmas? I'd say, oh, no, I've got, you know, Richard Osman's book and some socks. What's he got to do with you? He could have argued out, is all I'm saying, Andy. He could have toughed it out, but he's taking it on the chin. And next time he sees John Moss, he'll probably empty a bucket of water down the front of his trousers.
Why not? Yeah, and a paper in the bucket. Yeah. There was one comical moment in that game, though. I don't know if you talked about it yesterday on BT's coverage. The commentator, I don't know who he was, but he went, Ilkay Gundogan, great strike. What a goal by Ilkay Gundogan. And they cut to Bernardo Silva, and he goes, Bernardo Silva with his first goal this season, and he took it brilliantly. I'm thinking, oh, it's okay. We didn't notice that you got the name wrong. No need to apologise.
I think we're all quite on rocky ground that none of us ever make mistakes.
You've got to acknowledge them and acknowledge it is the broadcasting mantra. We don't just pretend it never happened.
Okay, well, we'd be here all night. We'd be here all night. I think we might have to do that at some point.
No, no. And I went through the Trump pardon list. I thought I'd see if I could find any.
Were you on it?
Sporting. No, I wasn't actually, funnily enough. I thought I could see if I could find some sporting ones. I found an Amir Khan, but not that one.
Okay, right. And
Anthony Lewandowski, no relationship, I believe.
So
was it. There were no sporting people who can, you know, so I thought there might be.
Generally, people in sport don't need a governmental pardon, do they?
Well, if they've committed some sort of indiscretion, you know.
Fair enough. Well,
I can't think of anybody who.
It's great that you've been using your time wisely. Bringing back the people that Trump pardoned to sport is admirable, Andy. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This was a letter yesterday. To the Telegraph, and somebody said, living in an area famous for its annual brass band contest, far from wishing to mute the sound of the instruments, which was another letter someone had sent in, I find it a welcome delight to hear my neighbours practising on their trombone or flugelhorn, which is fine when they're in a brass band and they're quite proficient. Not quite so good, of course, if there's a seven-year-old next door screeching out scales on a cheap violin with all the windows open. Or something like that. I remember when I was about, I don't know, I was about 10 or 11, I got this old junk shop drum kit that we just saw it in. It was like, cost no money. It was a tiny little drum kit, and I played a bit of piano and stuff. So I had some Christmas money or whatever. So this drum kit came home, and we put it up the shed. So we didn't want to play, try to play an house, and my mum and dad said, oh, stop all that row. So I went down to my dad's shed, a little corner of the shed right at the end of the garden. And, you know, it was probably quite terrible. And then one day a stone came through the window of the shed. Not much of a critique of my drumming. So we never found out who the neighbour was. Maybe they want to fess up now.
Didn't live next door to Ginger Baker.
I don't know. They obviously had a good arm. They either were the immediate neighbours. We had our suspicions, or someone with a very good arm and obviously good ears. But, if you've experienced that over the years, some of our previous neighbours, their son was learning the trumpet. And in the summer, with the windows open, when they've been only learning for a couple of weeks, that can be quite fearsome as well.
Oh, yeah. No. So, during lockdown, our neighbour who lives upstairs, she's got a great voice. But, I mean, you know, it's a bit operatic.
And or is she just singing along the radio?
No, I think she's just very good. I think she's sort of a very good
semi-pro. She wants you to know it. Semi-pro. What's she like? National League North.
I quite enjoyed, I mean, she did the British Airways thing. I quite like that. Was quite nice. I remember that being nice. But the rest of it is a lot of
Lacme,
scales.
The old theme, or the opera, you're talking about We'll Take More Care of You. She doesn't do that. She doesn't do the adverts, does she? Doesn't do Shake and Vac and all that. Fair enough.
She does them all. Talking about last night's football, though, I must say, Nick Pope played brilliantly.
He did.
Talk about that later. But I particularly enjoyed his age-long taking of the goal kick at 1-0. It was nearly as good as his save from Salah.
Yeah.
It's a real art form, taking a long time over a goal kick.
They should maybe put getting up slowly, of course, in the dying seconds when you've caught a ball mid-air. In any other point of the game, you catch it mid-air and then you run out and you throw it straight out to a teammate. But at that stage of the game, you catch the ball and you kind of slowly collapse. You like an old deck chair. Then you lay there on your side for a couple of minutes, like you've hurt your shoulder. And then you get up, you take your time. But there was that one save last night, which is the mark of just how good he is, when Salah sort of shaped, it looked like, for all intents and purposes, he was going to curl it to the right.
Yeah.
And he gave him the eyes, didn't he, and put it the other side. And
Pope, yeah, it was lovely.
He either didn't buy it or, you know, kind of equal distribution of his weight and got to it with his left hand. What a save. He is on fire.
Kepa would have just dived to the right anyway.
No, he is playing very well at the moment. Oh, Jordan Pickford under a bit of pressure, I think.
It was interesting, that girl. You mentioned Dean Smith there. It was interesting that nobody knows the rules. Because I wrote, once Mings touched the ball, surely it was another phase. And that's what
did you
was,
know that?
It? I did know that.
Really?
I don't know why they didn't know that.
Even in passing. I think...
I wasn't even going to check. I knew it, so I was going to check with Bob from Arbroath, but I thought, no, that is the rule, isn't it?
You know the laws, Andy. You're like David Ellery.
Thanks. What a great compliment.
It's the worst thing you could ever say to anybody, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Well, I deliberately wrecked this show.
Yeah. That's it. Well, we'll find out in the next 2.5 hours, won't we?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
James Nassaulu, the... British Olympic sprinter, is hoping to compete in 2 Olympic Games over the next year. The first one in Tokyo, of course, fingers crossed, and then off to Beijing for the Winter Olympics. He's, as well as the sprinting, he's involved with bobsleigh, and he joins us now. James, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. Yeah, I mean, first up, there's kind of a few conflicting reports today about Tokyo. Well, one of the newspapers reporting, the Times reporting, that they think they may have to call it sooner rather than later. Others saying it'll probably go ahead, but without fans. You're getting a bit nervous, you and your fellow athletes, because, you know, you've trained so hard for this and it's already been postponed once.
Yes, hopefully they're just rumoured, you know, and they're just like news reporters just trying to get hit and stuff on their articles. But until the IOC comes out and says anything, you kind of just got to go with what the IOC has to say. And as far as I'm concerned, they've said it's still going ahead. But as an athlete, you just don't want it to be postponed again, you know. But even if it does, you know, there's still going to be a track season, so athletes will continue to train, you know.
Yeah, sure. But you are sort of covering your Olympic options, because I reckon it's much more likely, time-wise, as well as anything, for there to be a Winter Olympics, because it's so open. And
it's February,
outdoors.
Isn't it? I mean, we'd like to think the world would be a slightly different place then.
Yeah, we'd hope so, wouldn't we? So how did you get into bobsleigh? What inspired you?
Well, for bobsleigh, obviously, my coach, Michael Kamel, he's a bobsleigh coach and also an ex-bobsleigh athlete. He's the guy who coached me at the beginning part of my career, currently my coach now. I was also quite good friends with a pilot called Lamin Dean. Mm. And also my brother-in-law, Joel Farron. He's obviously a sub-10 sprinter, and he's also been to the Olympics and also gotten an Olympic medal. So I kind of had all these people in my support network kind of always telling me whenever you feel it's the time for you to try out for the GB team, you're more than welcome. So, yeah, I just had all these influences around me in terms of influencing factors.
We had Lamin on the show. He's a good guy. He's very interesting. We'll come back to him in a minute, because the old pilot's role is pretty important. But what's it like first time, James? First time you try something like this, because it's so far out your comfort zone, isn't it, really?
I like to call myself a bit of a thrill seeker. I like the old roller coaster, you know, I'm not afraid of heights. I like to daring and do stuff, but this really does take it to the limit in terms of how fast you're going, the G pressures you feel. My very first track was probably one of the most harshest tracks I'd say in Europe, in Altenburg, which they kind of made me go down at night time to add insult upon injury. But obviously... With my driver being Lamin D, the guy's been driving for a decade. That's kind of my saving grace, and that's what I've got to say. Lamin's got me, you know, the guy's experience. He's been doing it, been down tracks tens of hundreds of times, so he knows what he's doing, so I'm never in no danger.
So we're talking two-man rather than four-man?
I think it's four-man, isn't it, you're doing?
It's two. I've done a two-man, and I've also done the four-man as well, but obviously our best chances and hopes are in the four-man, but... you kind of start off doing a two-man just to kind of get your experience, because with the four-man, there's so much more going on, because there's four people trying to get into quite a small bobsleigh.
Yeah, that's the best bit, when they all try and get in at the start.
That bit is very crucial and important in terms of, everyone's got to get in, but it's not just how you get in. You've got to get in the correct way to preserve your velocity, and you're not wasting time at the start and stuff. So yeah, once you're in, that's a big thing, which is obviously why Lamin's kind of brought me on board to help out with the start.
I mean, obviously, you're quick and you're a sprinter, but did you have to learn a slightly different technique? Is it a different kind of sprinting, if you like, in bobsleigh to sprinting straight up?
Well, I'll say the running aspect is the running aspect in terms of before the bob goes, like that's running, that's natural, that's been coached.
Yeah.
For me, the more aspect that I've had to learn is what we call the hit, which is basically when you initially get the bob going from the block. So that's a skill which I've had to require. And there is a certain different angle which you've got to be able to position a bob in, but it's not too dissimilar to running in terms of a big step.
Sure.
How do you combine the training? I mean, do you have a certain amount of the week you do bobsleigh, certain amount you do track? How do you work it?
So typically, obviously, being in the UK, we've only got one bobsled track in the whole of the UK, which is in Bath. Obviously, I'm based in Loughborough. So for me, my week was simply set up that I normally do three running sessions a week, two to three gym sessions a week. So two of them sessions were dedicated to track and field, being Monday and Friday. And then I'd go on a Wednesday to Bath to learn how to push the row bob and a bobsleigh at the push track in Bath. So that's kind of how my divide was. And obviously now I'm in season since October now. Since November, sorry. It's kind of been all bobsleigh for the last 2 or 3 months on the ice.
Yeah. I would imagine that the virus has obviously affected where you like. I mean, you probably wanted to go off to Switzerland and do a bit of that. You probably, from a sprinter's point of view, wanted to go and a bit of warm weather training. But that's not, probably not been possible, was it?
Well, I've seen a few people like head off to Dubai and stuff. But yeah, obviously there's been restrictions, laws, like quarantines, and obviously I leave that to like kind of team management to sort out where we can go, you know, because of every place we go has got a different set of rules, so to speak. But we get tested 2-3 times a week, you know, just to make sure. So
right.
We're all just safe as a team and as a bubble. We're not spreading around COVID-19 around Europe. So yeah.
How does, finally on the bob, how does the qualifying work? Will you need to qualify? Will there be a qualifying process before you can go to Beijing?
Well, I think traditionally you would qualify the season before, and it's normally top 20 sleds in the world, which were finished 16th in our last race, which is the first time as a new crew we expect to at least finish top 10 as the season goes on. But now we're going to basically have to qualify next year, which is the same as every other bob in terms of finishing top 15. I think the BOA is set out for us, which is more than achievable for us. Yeah. So that's how it's going to work. Just race upon race, finishing top 15, and we'll be able to go to Beijing.
Excellent.
I mean, your sprint career has been going on for some time now, and you've had some brilliant times. I believe you're the second fastest Briton of all time, according to Wikipedia, so probably not right. But anyway,
it is. I think it is.
I think that's one of the few times Wiki is right.
Yeah, that's good.
That's excellent. But at 33, I mean, do you feel you're going to get better? Because I think sprinters do, don't they? They have a sort of golden period. I think I can think of quite a few that have done really well in their early 30s.
Yeah, I think as training, obviously you look at Linford Christie. He won his gold medal almost going back 30 years ago, in his 30s. You know, so I think there's almost no limit in terms of when you can do well as a sprinter. And I always see myself as someone, I didn't start sport till I was 18 years old. So I didn't have that kind of young, youthful background in sport. So I was a bit of a late bloomer. So I had a few injuries, ups and downs, but I definitely do believe I've definitely got more, and I could definitely be at my best. And at my best, I'm more than able to challenge the world's best.
You must feel there's a medal up for grabs in Tokyo with your times. I mean, you're feeling confident?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, I've been to the Olympics twice now as a semi-finalist. My goal will be to make the final. Once you make the final, you know you're in it. My PB of 9.91 would have got me a medal in Rio had I been been able to produce it there. So I know I'm good enough at my best to be able to pick up a medal.
Well, look, we wish you well with the sprint and the bobsleigh. Good to talk to you, James. Thanks very much for joining us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, your old mate, Salt Bay, is in the news.
Yes.
I say your old mate, we've never met him or eaten at his restaurant. He's a steakhouse owner. Yeah, probably the most famous one apart from Angus. I'd say. I don't know if his steaks are better than Angus's.
I'd say they are.
Okay, well, that's your opinion, Andy.
They don't do the gold foil at the Angus steak.
No. So basically, this is Salt Bay. He's a restaurateur, a very upmarket steak restaurant. And Mamadou Sakho of Palace apparently went over to Dubai, and a feeling that they are alleging that he wasn't particularly socially distancing. But he gave Salt Bay a Palace shirt. So,
yeah, nice.
What he plans to do with that. He's probably got quite a collection of shirts because footballers love going to him, don't they?
I love that. Infantino, I was telling you, was there. Yeah. I follow him on Instagram and I did my own versions. I don't know if you've seen them.
Yes, I've seen them, Andy.
Amusing. Yeah, they're quite amusing.
He throws the meat in the air and he sort of catches it on a knife and then he slices it. Throws it around it looks like a sort of, it looks like a Looney Tunes cartoon the way he does stuff, doesn't it? It's weird.
But he's most known for his way of flinging salt on. He uses a crystal salt and he sort of flings it on the meat and then he goes, wow, like that. For some reason.
Wow, where's he from? Is he from Truro or something? What's he saying that for?
No idea. He's got the most amazing, I mean, he works out like mad, this bloke.
He's in good nick, is he?
He's incredible, yeah. Nick.
He'll fit that Palace shirt well.
And I think he's got about 8 or 9 restaurants now. He's in New York. I mean, he's an incredible success story. The prices are eye-watering, and it is fascinating. And there's no... I can't see the social distancing judging
by... Okay, Andy, have you had a look at the menu? What are you paying for steak and chips at Salt Bay's place?
I did check out the menu because I don't know the prices because I don't know what the currency that they're charging, so I couldn't work it out. But he's got this weird thing that he does. He'll cook a big piece of steak, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he'll chop it in half.
Chop it in half.
No, literally. Yeah. With his knife, he chops it in half. It's really blood raw. I mean, it's really not that cooked. It's pre-undercooked. And then he gets a piece of... I finally worked out what it was. I couldn't work out what it is, but it's a piece of fat that he deep fries.
Wow. And then he
puts it in. Oh, yeah. And he puts it in the middle of the two bits of steak. Hmm. And that sort of seals the steak inside. He cooks it inside with this hot fat. But and then it drips everywhere. I mean, honestly, it must be the most unhealthy thing ever.
Well, you can do that sort of thing now and again, can't you? I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would go there. If I was in Dubai, I would. I've noticed it's very interesting, actually. Since they've come to an arrangement with Israel, it's become very popular with really religious Jews going there and eating.
Really?
I wouldn't imagine the meat's that kosher, but there you go.
Okay, fair enough.
few of the lads there, so that was good. I saw Romeo Beckham was in the news, and he's a very good-looking boy, and he's landed a modelling job and a cover on Italian Vogue. Mm. I was just thinking, would he have got it if he was Romeo Smith or Romeo Jenkins?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Kate Moss was just some kid picked up at an airport. You know, if you're good, you're good. And he didn't look very good, didn't he, in the pictures?
It does. Yeah. It does help, anyway. Happy birthday to Stan Collymore. He's reached 50 today.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday, Stan.
Yeah, I was still enjoy reading Stan on football. He's still... Yeah. Very innovative thinker, so that's good. What else have we got? Oh yeah, do you see Bollywood to make a film about this incredible runner? He's done the London Marathon. His name's Fauja Singh. He's 109. This
wow.
Forget Captain Sir Tom, really. Honestly,
you can't forget Captain Sir Tom Moore. You can't pit one against the other.
I'd like to, actually. But he's only just stopped doing the marathon. I think his final marathon was in 2011 when he turned 100. Wow. It's incredible. I mean, the records he hold anyway, Bollywood are going to make a film about him. I think it'd be really interesting.
He'd still be quicker than the moose, wouldn't he? So
I'm
looking at the New York Salt Bay menus. No price, no prices on it, Andy. That's not a massive.
Never a good sign.
That would. Well, hang on. Let's have a look. No, it's not too bad. The tomahawk. If you want his tomahawk steak, it's highly marbled, much like yourself. Mustard marinated, bone-in ribeye, $275, which is what about sort of...
Why so cheap?
Well, look,
it was enough for about 6 people, to be honest. It's massive.
Yeah, that would
but
be
you went, bit, you mean, went to, you probably went to the best steak restaurant in New York, didn't you? Peter, what's it
Peter
called?
Luger.
Peter Luger.
Yeah, now blind.
I read a review of this, and they said there are plenty of other places, you know, that you can go to. But look, all credit to the lad; he's done very, very well, and so good luck to him.
I did wonder, it's called Peter Luger because if you can't pay the bill, they put a gun in front of you,
probably.
But anyway,
it did look very nice. I remember you sending me the photos. And Les Holt, who writes to the Sun on an incredibly regular basis. I don't know why they don't give him a column. He gets a letter published every day, so they might as well give him his own column. But he this is today's letter. He goes, I used to think Lady Gaga was a joke who couldn't sing her way out of a paper bag. Oh, no. But a performance at Joe Biden's inauguration, you think, you're an idiot, mate. Why would you think Lady Gaga couldn't sing her way out of a paper? She was wonderful in the, what's that, the Star
Is Born. Who can sing their way out of a paper bag? And who's ever tried?
I'll give it a try.
Who's ever tried to do that? We were asking yesterday. No, we don't normally do this, but I was on with Max yesterday, and we got into these things that you didn't realise till you were quite late in life, and we didn't get around to all of them. Things that you really should have known when you were about 4 years old, but didn't really learn till you were much older. And we had a few of these. A couple of these were very good, and so we didn't get around to them. Dino from Manchester told us, my cousin a couple of years ago was sat next to me in a car. We saw a magpie. My cousin saluted the magpie and said, one for Zorro. One for Zorro, I said. To my amazement, that's what he thought it was. He's 51 now, he says. Wow. But one for Zorro. Very well done to him. Also, Ben in Long Stratton said, I used to bumble around the garage with my dad working on various cars. He used to ask me to shake the cans of spray paint for him. Say, keep shaking it until you can't hear it rattle anymore. Of course, not at all possible, as it's the old rattle cans of spray paint. He said, last year at the age of 27, I realised this wasn't possible, and I now feel fairly stupid. So, we had some very good ones coming in. Also, S-housery in the lower reaches of football. We asked about, because we found out, Andy, I don't know if you've seen this story, that one club, and no one knows who it is at the moment, have got a pillar. They've put up a fake pillar in the dressing room to get in the manager's eye line when he talks to his players. It means you don't get clear sight lines in the dressing room. So in some dressing room out there is a fake pillar that if you sort of tap on, you could possibly even move it. It's not holding up the ceiling. Obviously, make sure before you start taking a sledgehammer to it. But we did ask about S-housery in the world of the lower reaches.
Well, surely the manager noticed that. Didn't he suddenly go in there one day and say, why is there a pillar?
No, in the away dressing room. In the away dressing room. That's what the point of it is. Not in the home dressing room. Why would you disadvantage your own team?
I see.
Rich, the Saints fan, was telling us on Sunday football before kickoff, my mate was told to man mark one of the opposition. At half time, he even went over to join him for the other team's team talk.
Fantastic. And shared his orange.
That's right. Took a bite out of his orange. So, thanks. Thanks for all of those.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tough day for England's bowlers, but they picked up wickets. Jimmy Anderson and Mark Wood. A really flat pitch for Mark Wood to bowl on. not given him much, but he got a well-deserved wicket. And he's co-presenting a podcast at the moment with our next guest. It's called Middle Please Umpire. And it's comedian and actor Miles Jupp. Good afternoon, Miles.
Afternoon. How are you?
Yes, you must have been
good.
You must have been chuffed for Woody, really. But say it's not really his conditions, but he kept going.
Yeah, it looked terrifying out there in terms of just, you know, the heat and just, you know, bowling a 9-over spell like that. So the wicket that he took there, the LBW, that was, well, you could see the relief, I think, on his face. But yeah, it was, yeah, well deserved, I think.
I've heard the podcast; it's really fun, and I always wondered what made you think that he'd be good at doing this, because I know he's fun to watch and he is a cricketer that looks like he really enjoys and loves cricket. But what made you choose him and how did you get together?
Well, we were actually put together by someone else. I had a call a few months ago from my agent saying, do you want to do a podcast? And I thought, do I? And, and she said, you know, it'd be about cricket. You thought, all right. And then they said it'd be you and Mark Wood. And I was like, well, that'd be excellent, just out of sheer excitement, to be honest. But then we set it up, we booked it. I hadn't actually met him. And then we did the first recording we did. We did an interview with David Gower. And I just went and met him in a cafe. And he's just great fun. He's kind of unguarded as well. I think there's in sport, there's that sort of slightly trained aspect to people sometimes. And they sit there and say, the spirit in the dressing room is marvellous. And, it's all about the right areas and that sort of thing. Where he just says stuff. We did one the other day when he just sounded so in lockdown, as indeed he is, but it's not like here where you're in your house, it's in a hotel room going slowly mad.
Yeah.
Sort of like an examination of the mind, really. I don't know, sometimes it's on Zoom, sometimes I get the impression he's just sort of lying on his back spouting like a sort of, I don't know, Northumbrian Adam Johnson.
Going back to the cricket, I found this quite a strange pitch that they've produced. When you need to win, it looks pretty flat to me. And Angelo Matthews, he looks like he's never going to get out, but he always looks like that against England. But I thought I was a bit surprised. Were you surprised by the state of the pitch?
Yeah, I think it's odd, isn't it? I mean, they do sometimes when they get a pitch like that there, it could be, you could play for 15 days on it, I think. So I don't know why that's happened. It's what we'd call a chairman's wicket, wouldn't we? Sort of the English yes. county game, you've got to get all your days of play. When you haven't got, they're not getting much ticket revenue out of these, and I'm not sure where the benefit of it is. But then maybe they know, they know what to do on these surfaces. We're obviously having to work really, really hard, but maybe they've got some tricks up their sleeves that we don't know about.
Yeah, 7-4-2. We were getting all very excited, but it's 2/29/4. It's it must feel fairly tough for them to have made the breakthrough so early on and maybe not been able to capitalise on it. But we know the reasons why.
Yeah, I think so. But I think also, it's a 5-day game, and I think if we're going to set ourselves to score a lot of runs in our first innings, that's the strategy, isn't it? That the Root and Silverwood axis have been going on. As far as I'm concerned, the sort of Middle Please umpire hat on, really, it's the job of the other batsmen to lay a foundation so that Mark Wood can come out and play some
Well, he can, but he's fun to watch. But for cricket lovers, though, I think the treat of the week has been India against Australia. India beating Australia. It's always good to see them lose. What an incredible series. It was on during the night, so I just watched the highlights. But I don't know if you saw it, Miles, but some brilliant stuff.
Well, it's that great thing, isn't it, where someone seems really sort of, they seem down in the dirt and that kind of thing of just having been really written off. They've got a lot of key personnel missing. Kohli is such a figure, so the idea of him not being there, as Australia, when we didn't have Smith and Warner, we weren't very good. Surely they're not going to be very good without Kohli. And just, I suppose, because when Australia get beaten, they just sort of look really beaten, don't they? That thing where Nathan Lyon sort of collapses into a sort of end of yoga position and just sort of, the sort of fury and frustration. I suppose a lot of that body language that we saw towards the end of Headingley in 2019. But that is a series for the ages, that one, really. I think just this year, it's the sort of, it could be the plot line of a sort of slightly amusing British film, couldn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I think England are going to have a big problem. It's on TalkSport, and I'm looking forward to it. But I think they've got a big problem against India. India have got two full teams. They're absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And anybody thinks the IPL doesn't prepare you for Test cricket, just have a look at some of these kids who've done brilliant in the IPL and played brilliantly in this series.
But also the whole of that game as well. It's not just the sort of bowling and batting, but the way what the IPL has done to people's fielding. I mean, there's sort of extraordinary things we see on the boundary these days that are kind of their regulation now. The idea, you know, it'd be unbelievably memorable for someone to sort of stop a six and tap it back over and someone else catch it. That seems to happen about twice a game now. Yeah, you know, they've just taken the whole game to a completely different level.
You had Johnny Bairstow on the recent podcast as well, Miles. And amongst the chat you were having, Mark, there was also the revelation that when you were doing Ballamore back in the day, you had a little bit of cricket on the set, didn't you? You had a framed photograph of a former England skipper.
That's right, yeah. I had my hero, Michael Atherton. I don't know if he knew that he was in many, many episodes of that particular programme. Yeah, I think just the set designer very nicely said, is there anything you want in the anything else you want on the set? And I said, oh yeah, why don't you stick up a photo of Michael Atherton? They probably had to Google, but I was going, come on. Although the other thing is, there was another frame photograph, and in the other frame was Tommy Sheridan, who was at the time the leader of the SSP, and then went to prison for perjury. So, it's good. It's good and bad.
Interesting, yeah, interesting lineup of photographs. There we are.
Yeah, two, I've always assumed, kindred spirits.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So, when this is the end of the first series of the podcast, is it? So you're reconvening again with Mark, are you, to do a second series soon?
Yeah, I think we'll sort of try and do them in blocks, really. Don't we'll have that kind of thing where it's like, we're going to keep doing these even if you're not listening, sort of mentality that can develop if you're not careful. Well, he's got to go to India. What's he being? Rotated, rested, first couple of tests. Mm. He'll presumably require surgery of some sort and some rehabilitation. And I'll need to spend more time sort of lying on the sofa sighing about homeschooling. And then when we're both refreshed, yeah, we'll come at it again.
Brilliant. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. We do recommend them. They're all available wherever you get your podcast. So, Miles, good to talk to you as always. What else are you up to at the moment? I suppose, were you mid-project or are you due to be doing something?
Well, I was going to be doing a play at the RSC all of last year, and that's sort of been shunted about. I'm doing some writing work. I've got a book out in August and trying to develop some other TV stuff. But we're homeschooling our five children at the moment. Wow. So if an email comes suggesting I've got to do anything, it seems like an impossibility, to be honest.
Oh. Well, look, we wish you well.
I should just say that I loved your book. We interviewed about you. Interviewed you about it at the time. Fibber in the Heat. I recommend it to people if you've never read it.
Yeah,
Thank you. The Art of Blagging.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So, cheers, Miles. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Nice to speak to you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Time then to look at a week of sport on TV, as always, in the company of squad number 9, Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. You okay?
Yeah, we're not too bad, Martin. Yeah, what's tickled bad, your fancy this week?
Well, Amazon Prime's big show, or at least it's one of their major tickets at the moment, One Night in Miami. Mm. The night being February the 25th, 1964.
Oh, yeah. I plan to watch this over the weekend, so I'm looking forward to see what you made of it all.
It's great. It's great. You'll enjoy it immensely. I mean, it did happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a meeting between Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, you know, the NFL star later in movies like The Dirty Dozen, Sam Cooke, of course, brilliant soul singer, and Malcolm X. And they all meet up after Muhammad Ali had beaten Sonny Liston in the convention hall there in Miami, February 25th, 1964. You'll remember Sonny Liston was slumped on his seat, failed to come out for the eighth round. And Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay, as he was then, became the world champion at the age of 22. And basically they all meet up afterwards, which I've checked on the internet they did. Maybe not quite in the circumstances that it has, you know, these sort of films, like it's rather like The Crown.
Yeah.
You know, they mess around with the chronology of the whole thing.
Mm.
But in principle, it happened. And it's really interesting. It's like a conversation between the four of them. And where they are in the struggle against racial inequality, if you like, in the States. So Sam Cooke is, as we know, Sam Cooke was a very smooth singer before he made... They changed the chronology, so this is before he made A Change Is Going to Come, which was his statement on, you know, on segregation, etc., in the States. So it was before that, but of course they changed the timing and they put it after that. And it's the four of them basically talking. We, because it was a stage play initially. Mm. So it's very talky. It's not, you know, no car chases or anything like that. But it's a really interesting movie. And especially if you, you know, if you know the characters and some of the stories you'll know. You see Ali in this talking about Gorgeous George, the wrestler that he took his sort of little, all his shtick from. In the early, so he tells those stories. Apparently, he talks about Rocky Marciano and Joe Louis being at the fight, and he's, you know, he's very much the, you know, the showman and the braggart and all that. So it's all that we knew Cassius Clay was before he became Muhammad Ali. And of course, on the next day, he announces the fact that he's joined the Nation of Islam, which Malcolm X at the time was, you know, was moving for, and obviously it was a huge step for them. So I like the warning at the start. The, you know, before the film starts, there's a warning. It says, "Warning: sexuality, violence, drug use, foul language." I thought, thank goodness, no flashing images.
As a sidebar, Martin, I know you watched the Liston documentary. That I think it was the 30 for 30. That would be worth watching after. It's a fascinating documentary as well.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, as you know, in the but this obviously is not a documentary; it's a drama, so it plays with the facts a wee bit. But well worth seeing. Yeah. And the interesting thing was, I switched from that over to Sky. I was watching. I was probably going to watch another football match. Too much football on TV.
LH717.
Way too much football. Because when you're going once a week, you sort of think to yourself, well, you know, one week is a good match, and another week it's not so good, and then there'll be a sensational match, and it's not all nicely spread out. But now you're watching so many matches, and it's a lot of them are very disappointing. On which subject, I'd like to say, I'd like to actually bury the West Ham way. We don't care anymore. The West, you know, we're seventh in the league. Forget the West Ham way. Well, that has now been, had its official internment. And nobody cares. However, anyway, we're switching over to watch the footy. And up on Sky Docos, I might have met Sky Documentaries, I might have mentioned this before, Ali Meets Dick Cavett.
Yes, I've watched this as well.
It's very good. Excellent. I've seen it too. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, brilliant talk show host. And he had Ali on a heck of a lot. He used to have Woody Allen on. He was sort of like the hip talk show host in the States at the time. And I just thought it was interesting, going back to One Night in Miami, Jim Brown, of course, the NFL star, became a huge movie star. And he was in the Dirty Dozen, lots and lots of other films after that, you know, action movie star. And Dick Cavett is asking Ali, and this time it'll be about the early 70s, when there was all that blaxploitation thing, you know, Shaft and all those movies were around at the time. And he, Dick Cavett asked Ali, you know, have you thought of going into movies? And he said, yeah, every movie I get offered, it's black guys going around, you know, with all the bling and the big Cadillac and the jewellery and all that, and they're always gangsters or something like that. He said, I'm not going into movies until they make me Charlton Heston. That's the sort of movie I want to make. And it gives you an idea of just how Ali, you know, which is covered in the film, really, how sort of Ali was wise about, you know, about racial stereotypes and all that. And, you know, those, if you've not seen those on Sky Documentaries, those sort of chat shows between Dick Cavett and Muhammad Ali.
And there is one, really, Martin, where we spoke to Michael Parkinson about this when he came in.
He
goes over and does, I think it was it around the Frazier fight? Does he get involved in that conversation? But
yes,
one of the Frazier fights, yeah, and he's there on the sofa, isn't he, with Dick Cavett and Ali.
That's
and Frazier.
Right.
It's like a sort of transatlantic chat show thing they were doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dick Cavett, I'm a big admirer of him, and, you know, he would be savvy enough to know that following the interview that Parkey did over here with Ali, that Parkey would be a good guest to have on that, and he was. It's brilliant. I also watched Thierry Henry, Inspirations, which... following on for the same thing, he was talking about...
It sounds like his new range of aftershave, doesn't it?
Or chocolate, I thought.
Yeah,
or
chocolate, yeah. Quite
Thierry
possibly,
Henry's
yeah.
Inspiration's delicious.
Yeah.
No, it was again, it was an interesting show because he was talking about, you know, it's a sort of series that crops up all the time on Sky. They're just like quarter an hour, half an hour programmes, but he's talking about the people that influenced him. And amazingly, again, Muhammad Ali was an absolute huge influence on him, as I suppose he would be on pretty well any black sportsman. But Thierry Henry, who you think of, you know, very much in terms of va-va-voom and being, you know, being much admired and being a bit of a sex symbol and all that. But in this, probably 40, 50% of the show is him talking about racism and what, you know, even a star like he felt, you know, joining the French international team and the fact that he mixed with the people who were, you know, from former French colonies and all that, rather than all mixing generally. You know, he said it was a sort of clique system there when he became international in France.
So and that's on Sky, is that, Martin? You said it's on...
That's on Sky. There's loads of those inspirations. I don't know what they're called, inspirations or icons. I think they're called icons,
right,
actually.
Okay. Maybe you're just being a bit peckish.
Is the perfume.
So, so tonight, you're back overnight for
I am.
Tonight
we have live sport, don't forget. At 4 o'clock in the morning, we'll be linking up with John Norman. He'll obviously be watching the...
Cricket.
It'll be previewing the cricket for us. So we have that, as well as all of the other exciting stuff.
The following night, you've got the UFC, and keep an eye on that.
UFC,
as well as the,
yeah.
Oh, blimey, it's more live sport. Overnight, there isn't, but you know what I mean. There will be some live sport for you to get stuck into. Brilliant. Yeah. Thanks, Martin.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, we finish, as usual, looking at some of the non-sporting TV this weekend. And as always, Brighton supporting... Star TV, Daily Star. He's a star anyway. It is it is Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys.
As you say, are we all in the mood for a subtitled Danish true crime drama from HBO?
Do you know what? I'm not entirely. I'll be honest. This is The Investigation. It starts on BBC Two tonight. I've only watched a little bit of it, I'll be honest. But I don't know. I think I'm getting increasingly superficial and shallow in my tastes. And anything that involves A, heavy commitment, and B, you know, quite a lot of gloom. I don't know. I just, for some reason or other, I just don't want gloom. I want a lot of shallow escapism at the moment.
Okay. What about the knitwear?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Knitwear. What about the knitwear?
Yeah, but you can pick up a bit of Danish from the subtitles, you know. So do you know how, if you wanted it sort of as a chat-up line, for example, do you know how many homicides I've worked on? You know, get your notepad out and you can recall that.
Trying that one the next speed date yes. event if they ever have another one. Yes. Yeah, maybe some lighter relief could be our old mate Lee Mackin not going out at 9:30. Yeah. You say this is Lee reacting that his dad's getting engaged. Is this the late great Bobby Ball?
It is the late great Bobby Ball. Yeah, the storyline is that he announces his engagement and Lee is suspicious. And I won't spoil the whole thing, but let's just say that the storyline involves him putting on some prosthetics, which it's quite scary and very effective. You know, I mean. Normally, I associate really elaborate prosthetics with that thing they do on Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway, where you always think, it's Ant and Dec. Yeah. Why can't you guys see it's Ant and Dec? But here it's quite uncanny.
He looks nothing like him, okay.
That's yeah, it's quite weird.
But series 11, which is, I watched the first one, he's kept the standard up brilliantly, I think.
He has kept the standard up brilliantly. And it's sort of, as the series goes on, there are certain I wouldn't say it gets serious, but there's certain sort of scenes in it where you kind of feel that the domestic setup becomes quite tense at times. So, there's still the sort of throwaway gags and that whole sort of style of it, but occasionally you sort of think, oh, it's quite edgy here. So you wonder whether there's something there that's almost wanted to break out into something a bit more intense, you know, in future series or some sort of spin-off on them.
Well, there's another BBC for Music Night. This time it's Neil Diamond.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet Caroline is,
bit of a sporting anthem, isn't it?
It is.
Boxing, especially.
It is, and the cricket, of course.
And
the bit. And I think when Neil Diamond has performed it in recent years, he leaves the bit, he needs that gap for people to sing the bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
So good, so good, so good. Which I don't think was in the original, was it?
It wasn't. No, it's a bit like Living Next Door to Alice.
Yes.
That's got slightly misappropriated. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, there's a whole evening of that stuff. So you've got Neil Diamond at the BBC, Glastonbury 2008, Electric Prom, and then cover versions of Neil Diamond stuff. Oh. I can't actually list that many off the top of my head, but then somebody lists them to me. I think, oh, yeah, he did that as well, didn't he?
Did you tell us last week that Glenn Hoddle was the grandfather clock in the mask?
Oh, yeah. No, because the clue it kept giving was referred to the keeper. They used the expression keeper quite a lot. So
you thought it was Schultz, did you?
Well, Peter Shilton was one suggestion. Mm. David Seaman was one suggestion. Right. David James was another suggestion. Right. Ian Walker.
Okay, that's right. You threw that one at us, didn't you?
He's in Shanghai.
Made it difficult.
But yeah, I tell you what, actually, you could tell, because if you dig out the old clip of him and Chris Waddle doing Diamond Lights on Top of the Pops in whatever year that was, he does a certain dance. And if you watch the grandfather clock dance when he's still got the head on, and then you compare his dancing on that, it's almost identical. So if you knew, if you're an expert on Glenn Hoddle's dance moves, you'd have picked it out, you know, weeks ago.
Now it's very popular, this show, isn't it? I've never seen it, but it's doing very well. Popular.
It is, yeah. My wife hates it, so I try and watch it at least three times every weekend.
7 p.m. ITV, 8:30 on BBC Two. It's another one of these celebrity holidays. It must be tremendous. This is Jack D.
Really?
Sent to Siberia. Yeah. When we were doing TV Burp, I said we had a bit with Harry. He has two dice, and he said he'd nicked them from ITV. And one has the name of a bunch of celebrities, so you roll it and it says Dawn French, and then you roll the other one, it says Nepal. Yeah. And there, hey presto, you've got about 6 weeks' worth of telly.
I think this is what this... This was actually... This was shown years ago. Mm. I mean, there's... I noticed coming up next week, they're showing a Paul Merton trip to China, which was on 16, 15 years
That's
ago.
A very strange thing to do.
Very weird, strange, particularly because China's...
They're going to look... Jack D's going to look very different as well.
Yeah, and who the hell wants
He hasn't changed much. I saw him on the telly. He doesn't look any different. He's pretty ageless, really. So
he is pretty ageless. Possibly a little bit less hair, but apart from that... Yeah, and you know, it's basically some bloke moaning about the cold, which... So I'll be watching that one.
Oh, yeah. So that's an 8:30 repeat from 2002. Yeah. You know, these straightened times. Excuse me, Jack D sent to Siberia. So on Sunday, what have we got? We've got Dancing on Ice again, Mike.
Yeah, we've got the... So Graham Bell is now with Karina Mant... I'm going to read out the names of all the... No, I'm not actually. I was going to say I'll read out the names of the skating partners, but I've no idea who any of these people are. Karina Manta is standing in for his original partner
cut a leg, didn't she? Oh, Graham was talking to us about it last week.
Yes.
Yebin Mock.
Yebin Mock's out. She's going to be out for the foreseeable, I think, after the nasty injury. But that's 6 p.m. ITV and goes
Dancing on Ice, or 24 hours in A&E, as I like to call it.
Goes on for literally hours. Yeah. And you're not trumped out. There is another Trump show. I've actually seen this because it's been on the iPlayer for a few days, but it's the final chapter. It's the Trump show, which has been a series throughout his time as president.
Yeah.
This is downfall, effectively, they're calling it, rather ominously.
This is the epilogue. This is the bit that sort of then adds the sort of final chapter, which, of course, we all know about, but it puts in the context of the show, which was originally shown a few months ago and brings the story to
conclusion. I mean, quite a lot of people that work with him during the presidency kind of show up for this as talking heads. So it is fascinating stuff. And just very quickly, Incredible Journey, Simon Reeve, if you want to see a bit more of the world. His shows are normally pretty good.
It's very good, and this is a greatest hits kind of thing, a bit like Michael Palin did a few weeks ago. So it's looking back at some of his trips, which are obviously quite intense, but he's a very, very kind of good companion. He's very accessible but adventurous at the same time.
Excellent. That's 8 p.m. on BBC Two on Sunday. Thank you, Mike. Good stuff. We'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Don't forget, you can download the Clips of the Week podcast as well from where you got this podcast if you would like to take a listen to that. Andy, you are back with me on Monday.
Yeah, hopefully, yep.
Fantastic. We'll be reflecting all the FA Cup games, loads of them on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. Enjoy all the sport, especially the football. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.